Yeah, hello Paul.
Hello.
Schmidt, hello. Thank you that you are here for an interview. I don't know you at all, so it's a good situation. I can ask you everything.
It's the most objective interview ever.
Yes. But is it right when I say, or when people call you a non-duality speaker?
Yeah, it's true. I just give talks in the Netherlands about this subject, and mostly for companies, and also for normal people, let's say.
What does non-duality mean for you?
Well, it actually means not two. So what it is pointing at is that everything is one. And it's really a simple philosophy, because it's pointing at that everything is, let's say, one energy, and everything is simply happening. So everything in the universe, whether it is a tree, a planet, the rain, the air, or we talking, is just happening. The only difference is that we as human beings think that we are the doer of our actions. But that's the cosmic deal.
How does it come that the human beings are identifying with themselves and have the feeling to be a person?
That's because during evolution we came to a point where there was, for the first time, self-awareness created in the brain. We call this the default network in the brain. And what this does, it is creating constantly the illusion that you are the doer of your actions. So words just roll out, and this self-awareness afterwards will create the idea for me that it are my words. And this is my body and my thoughts and my feelings. But as neuroscientists figured it out, it's just a story afterwards. So our self-awareness is merely an illusion.
And this identification and this feeling, or this meaning to be somebody, a person, this creates suffering, is this right?
Yeah, because if you think that you are the doer of your actions, but also if you think that you could have done it differently in the past, there will be frustration, guilt, you start to blame people. And also towards the future, we often have fear for what might be happening in the future. And all these fears and frustrations and projections, they come from the idea that you are a separate entity having a free will and being the doer. And not really points at the idea that that is not true, that you are a piece of energy just happening. It's so simple. Yeah.
And if there is no separate entity, then there is no use to speak of a free will.
Absolutely, yeah. Because neuroscientists are really stuck at the free will concept, because they now see that our unconscious brain does everything, and our consciousness is only a story afterwards. But if you dig a little deeper, you, just like you said, you realize that there's not even an I in here who could choose. So free will is no issue. Because
but will can happen, like everybody, like everything. So, for example, there can be the energy, oh, I want this, I want to go for this, I want to do everything for this. So this can happen, but there's no owner of it. Is this right?
No. With you and me, there was the will of doing an interview, but there's no you and I sitting here, actually. This is just energy in which a will appears, and therefore actions happen.
So how does it come that people like you come to the conclusion that everything is one, and other people are stuck in this idea of separation? Is this just
that's also just happening? Yeah, I can't tell. With some people, they seem to wake up from the dream and they see through the illusion, and many other people not. But there's no good or bad in it. It's just what's happening. And mostly, you see when people have hit their heads against the wall 1,000 times during their lives, having crises or having an illness or anything, it makes the ego become aware of, at least they start to ask the question, am I really the doer of my actions? But most people come to these talks after having a lot of crises. Yeah.
Now you use the word ego. What does it mean?
Ego to me is exactly the same as self-awareness. So from the age of 1.5 years old, the child for the first time gets this self-awareness in the brain. So we call it the ego. Or in Sanskrit we call it ahamkara, which literally means the I creator. So the brain creates the idea that this is me. So a child who's 1 year old, you can put the child in front of a mirror and the child will have no idea that the reflection, this is me. And from 1.5 years old, for the first time the child will say, hey, this is me looking in the mirror. So you see, it's just a concept.
But by using the word ego, there can be the idea that it's something, some object, but it's, I think, it's nothing close, it's just what appears in the moment, like the thought, I am.
Yeah, yeah,
that
absolutely.
I am.
Yeah.
It's not, the ego is not something.
No.
Not really an object.
True, it's no object. It's just a thought, the I thought. Yeah. Otherwise, people think it's an object and they should get rid of it.
You just said about the difference between good and bad. Does this exist for you?
No, good and bad only exist in thought. So things happen, and whether we think it's good or bad, we can't tell. Also, is life meaningful or meaningless? Well, life just is, and meaningful or meaningless is just another thought we put on top of it.
So life has no meaning for you?
Only in thoughts, but this life is just happening. But mostly when we're identified, we want to have a meaning and we want to have a goal and to achieve something, to become better or happier or whatever. So actually we constantly tell ourselves that we're not good enough and that this present moment is not good enough. Also in companies, it's always getting more, achieving better. But you can do this your whole life and then it has never been good enough.
So in companies you will talk to people who never heard about spirituality or non-dualism, non-duality. What word you use in this case?
Oh, I don't mention Advaita or non-duality, because then they might run away. But mostly in companies I just make a lot of jokes and humor opens the mind up. And then I just show them some insights from neuroscience or Albert Einstein's philosophy. And he is also pointing at the idea that everything is one energy. And what they all recognize is that once we're identified, that struggle begins and we start to blame people, or if something goes well, we take all the credit. And that's what everyone recognizes.
Are you a happy person?
At this moment I am, yeah. But I do not know what it will be in 5 minutes or next year. Or
happy, but also a person?
No, that's a good question, yeah. Seemingly. But yeah, of course, this is just a piece of energy floating around. And the idea that there's someone in here is merely a thought. Which is really strange if you hear this for the first time. But
moments of sadness or pain can happen to everybody, also to you.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but then there's just pain or sadness or whatever. But no more the projections with all these struggling thoughts that it's my fault and how long will it last and why does this happen to me? Because the more thoughts we put on top of our emotions, the bigger they become. So it's really easy. When you're happy, you laugh. When you're sad, you cry. Life becomes really simple.
Is there a story, or could you tell something about your story, or how you came to that point, or it doesn't matter anymore?
No. Well, I could tell a story about my process, but the brain is incapable of picking up memories from the past and making an objective story around it. So all we do is when we talk about the past, we have some fragments of thoughts that we slightly remember, but we cannot tell them in an objective way. So everything I tell you about my past is really a fantasy. But most people, and also in therapy, we take these fantasies so seriously, and then we try to get rid of them.
So what you offer is far from therapy.
Yeah, I'm not offering anything. I'm just pointing out that this is it. This is what's happening now. This is the miracle.
And when people come to you, how does it take place practically? They ask you question, or you talk to them, and how does it work?
It's mostly a dialogue, so people ask questions and I talk a little and then we'll see what pops up. And it's not really, it's not so much about giving people new concepts, it's about killing concepts that come all from this idea of being this person needing to do anything. Because mostly they ask like, okay, everything is one, everything is just happening, so please tell me what to do so I can understand it. And if I would give them a method, I would give also the suggestion that there is someone there who is the doer, who can go from A to B. But all I'm pointing at is that this is it. This, that's it.
You're also doing videos. You make the, how it's called, a Advaita Cowboy? Or, yes. So you are interested in humor and...
I love humor. I used to be a comedian, and I'm still writing for some other comedians, because I humor is great. And also, no matter how much struggle you've got in your mind, when you laugh, it's all gone. Laughing is like the ultimate relief. And so I love it. And I also love to make fun of this and fun of the philosophy. So I don't really take things that seriously, and some people don't like that. I think I should be really serious about it.
Where do you offer your events? In Holland or in other countries as well? Countries?
Oh, I've been in India with Lisa together in March, and we go to America. But most of the talks are just in Holland.
Maybe I close the door, it's quite loud.
Thank you. Oh, there is no door. Oh, maybe that other door over there.
Ah, yeah.
They're washing the dishes. That's meaningful.
Yeah, this was a nice moment when I want to close the door and there was no door.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that remembers me when I really look inside and see who I am, then I see there is nobody, actually.
No. No, it's that which is looking through these eyes is the same as which is looking through these eyes. So I could say this is me, but right now what arises in this awareness is more that figure than this figure. So it's really strange. Actually, I'm more now what we call you than I am me. And still when we think about it, it's like now I am looking at you. But if we look closely, that's not our real experience.
But the sensation, they start from the body. So is there still something like a center in the body for you? Or
No, there's awareness in which everything appears and disappears. So right now, it's all words or sounds or hands moving like this. But it doesn't belong to anyone, and there's no doer in here. But what also arises is that thoughts of I also come up in consciousness. They also come and go. But there's no difference between seeing an airplane come and go, or seeing a thought come and go, or seeing the thought of an eye come and go. It's all appearing in this oneness. But for most people, that's tough to understand.
When you start a sentence, you know already the end?
No, normally we never know the end. And that's why it's so fascinating. When we talk, we have no idea what will come out. And still, if they put us under an fMRI scanner, they can see that the moment we talk, the self-awareness is turned off. There's just awareness of hearing words. And the moment I stop talking, this default network turns on and it's creating a story where it's telling you that you were constantly self-aware of what you were doing. So it's really weird how it's working. It's like a magic trick in the head. It's fascinating. It's amazing.
When I watch myself, there's also, when I'm talking, instance that is asking, is this logical what I'm saying, is this right, is this, can somebody else can understand this or not, something like this not happening for you?
No, there are no thoughts coming up after speaking like, is this understandable, will people get it, how do I look on camera? No, only now when I think about it, it comes up. Uh-huh. But there is no story afterwards. It's just what's happening. But as, yeah, so it becomes really simple, more like a dog.
You get something out of it that people are coming you to you, who seeing in you a spiritual teacher?
Yeah, no, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a guru or anything. I'm just a guy who likes to talk about this because he's fascinated by the subject. So I don't offer people anything, actually. I'm just pointing at something. And it has nothing to do with this. Because what you often see is people are willing to get rid of all identifications with life. And in the end, there's the guru. And they keep the guru as their last stroke to hold on or anything. So, it's like Buddha said, if you meet Buddha, kill him. Once you get it, you can also throw away your guru.
But if people coming more often to you, is there something intimate, something special, some relationship or something close, or is there something happening, some more opening or...
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with this. It's more with also the vibration in the room. Everything is simply energy. Everything is vibrations. Once there is the vibration, it becomes really light and soft, just like we had here this morning. Then you see people calm down, the minds calm down. It's like, yeah. So, but that has nothing to do with anyone. It's just simply what's happening there. And if people come here in the hope that it will happen, there's already the thought that there's still something wrong with what is now. Which is also okay, because then that's what's happening.
Yeah, and it's possible to feel it as a big relaxation, that atmosphere when everything is allowed to happen, everything is there and there's no identification.
True, because we so much like to get rid of this sensation of I, and there are so many moments during the day where the self-awareness is turned off. For instance, if you go to the movies, to a comedy show, reading a book, making love, eating, doing sports, dancing, laughing, all these moments you're really going into something, you totally disappear in the happening, and self-awareness is turned off. So the moment you really go into the movie, all your problems are gone, because there's no self-awareness. And when the movie stops, it rolls up again, and it's like, well, what do I think about the movie? Oh, it's already this late. Where's my car parked? And then it starts. So I think for a huge part of the day, self-awareness turned off, and we really feel this relaxation. But then when it is turned on and all the thoughts come up, I always say it's Stetter and Waldorf, there's two Muppets in your head, and they do blah 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 blah. And because we believe the thoughts, we have so much struggle.
I think some people call it to be in the flow.
Yeah,
this the same what you're talking about?
And when you're in the flow, struggle is gone.
Also, people who do a lot of exercise or very intensive exercise, like sportsmen, they speak about the flow. When they are in the flow, everything is happening and it's happening perfectly because there's nothing interfering. Yes.
It's even Johan Cruyff. I don't know if you heard of him. He's one of the most famous Dutch soccer coaches. He once said, "The moment you think, you're lost." Because if a player on the field suddenly starts to think, shall I pass the ball to the right or the left, or why did I do this action, it's gone. So even a lot of coaches in sports are really aware of that our thoughts are only stories afterwards, and a sportsman performs more relaxed and more intuitive and in flow when there are no thoughts. So more and more people are pointing to this, actually.
And in companies, you told that you also go in companies and speak there. What is the positive effect? Can you know what comes out of it?
Mostly companies are in this huge struggle, all coming from the sensation of being this I, needing to control everything, being busy with your self-image the whole day. So in companies I see a huge web of ego games, people competing and struggling. And all I'm doing in companies, I'm pointing at this insight. And for some people, it really touches them and they can feel it and it starts to vibrate and some people wake up. And others don't, but then that's what's happening.
So you advise people to be in the flow, in the working flow when, for example...
No, it's not really advising, I'm just pointing at this idea, and once it's seen, what might happen is that the flow comes up. But there's no guarantee in anything, there's no control in anything, no one's doing it, so I can't promise them anything. And still they book me, that's amazing.
Yeah. So you don't give any technique at all?
No. If I give a technique, I'm already telling you to control life. And I'm just saying that there's no one who can control anything. And it's funny, because companies, they always want total control. That's why they have all the spreadsheets and Excel sheets and stuff. And they do find it interesting to hear that there is no control.
And sometimes there comes resistance then from the people that you say, no, it's not possible.
Some people say, nice story, and they continue. But for instance, like Google, huge company, they do research to everything, and they figured out that if they want to make a decision, and they have all kinds of commissions thinking about them and all the strategies, the longer they think about what they should do, the worse the outcome is. So now, if they got an idea, they instantly just, they go for it. And they figure out that the outcome is better. So even they realize that thinking is not always the answer.
And they, to work in a team, it's getting more and more important. Is this right? Also in the companies, that they work together and not one on the top. And
we had the world championship, and also in the German team and the Dutch team, there was such a synergy between the players. But if you got really these egoistic players only going for their own self-image and their scores, you won't have this result. So just once the eyes disappear, there's more connection with what is, because everything is one, everything is connected.
How do you see the humanity in a whole of the situation? Some people are telling we are at the edge and it's not sure if we will survive because of all these ego trips. How do you see the situation?
I have no idea what the future will bring. I just know that this is actually not happening because it's all a hologram. But that's quite nihilistic. I graduated on the evolution of human consciousness, and in that essay I written about how we are evolving as species. And then you can also explain that why things are the way they are now. And there is evolution going on within the dream, because centuries ago, 10 to 60% of all men would kill each other in order to survive. And last century, including two world wars, it was only 1%. So if you look at a big scale, you see that there's a huge evolution going on. But then if you look at the perspective of everything is one, and then look at this world, you're like, oh my God, what's happening? But also, it's just happening.
Would you say everything what's happening is perfect because life wants to play in this way?
Yeah, even perfect. I sometimes say that, but everything is as it is. And whether we think it's good or bad or perfect or whatever, are merely thoughts. And if I say it's perfect, then I'm actually giving another concept above it. So I sometimes say to people, okay, you are just the perfect expression of energy at this moment. Although your ex-mother-in-law may not agree on that. Mm-hmm. At least my mother-in-law.
So the highest mantra is just, this is what just in the moment appears. That's all.
Yeah, if this is seen, then this is it. And it could never be different than this, and there's no one doing it. Man, this is such a relief. It's not a popular message for an identified person, because he wants to exist. This is actually dying while being alive. It's seeing through the illusion of the eye.
You sometimes give talks together with Lisa?
Yeah.
How is it with two people giving talks? How can you...
It's nice, because there's no way you can grab the truth. So everything we say are merely thoughts and concepts, so therefore we can only point to it. And what I like about non-duality, that there are so many teachers also on your website, and also depending on someone's character, everyone is pointing at the same thing with a totally different approach. And doing it, sometimes do it with Lisa and with two other friends in the Netherlands. And what I like about doing it together is that sometimes the other one will give a total different approach than you would have brought. And for some people it might clear up some stuff.
Is it something like a mystical that... mystical, I don't know the right word. That some people feel resonance to one teacher and other to another teacher, and is this just
also? Yeah, no, absolutely. Because some people really like a serious teacher and be devotional, and they shouldn't come to my talks. Some people they get angry because I just make jokes most of the time, and they think I'm not taking it seriously, which I don't. But so for everyone, it's just. I mostly say just shop around and see with whom it resonates, and because it's only pointers.
Was there a time when you went to different teachers or to teachers?
No. I just read a book, and then it happened. Not in one day, but.
What happened?
I knew there was no free will, because when I graduated, it was clear to me that I couldn't find that anywhere, free will. And also, the way this body-mind mechanism is moving is dependent on millions and millions of variables. So there's no way that this is a separate thing. But what Advaita pointed at is that even the thought of being this, being I, is merely a thought. And to me, this was like, wow! I was totally confused for 1.5 years, but it was amazing. So, and then the whole, let's say, process of awakening starts, where all your old ideas, old concepts, and old pain and stuff comes out. And it was not always a nice time, but also that all just happened. But the way body-mind mechanism is functioning in this dream with the idea of being separate individual is really different from seeing through the illusion. I mean, life just goes on, but these huge amount of thoughts that I had, they did shut up eventually.
Do you divide people in enlightened and not enlightened?
No, because actually everything is enlightenment itself. So some people may have some false ideas which makes them struggle a little, but they are all words. And it also, it doesn't matter whether someone is totally identified or someone is like liberated, because it's both the same energy doing its dance. So there's no hierarchy in it.
And so what about, you're speaking about everything is an illusion. Can you explain it a little bit more?
Yeah, if you, this is more the Tony Parsons approach. He's like, time is an illusion, space is an illusion, you are an illusion, and everything is just a holographic appearance. So therefore, also from our quantum mechanics, you could say there's not even a universe. It only takes place in our imagination.
Is this to feel more relaxed?
No, to me it's enough. If you just see that this is just happening, that's enough. Because you can philosophically and from science get totally stuck into this nihilistic approach, I think. Also this morning we're talking about, is consciousness an appearance within energy, or is energy an appearance in consciousness? We don't know. We just don't know. Therefore, what I like about Advaita or non-duality, it says it is not two. It doesn't say it's one, because then it would make a truth. Say, this is it. It just says, we don't know what it is, but it's not two. And to me, that's such a great approach. So therefore, you cannot claim the truth. You say, we just don't know what it is, but it's not two. I don't know who figured it out 2,800 years ago, but must have been a clever guy or girl.
You also offer groups for a longer period, some days or weeks or some...
Rarely, sometimes. Lisa does it more and more, actually. But mostly I just do talks for 2 hours. That's it.
But you are open if people invite you to come to their city, you would be open to do so?
Yeah, but sometimes I think, man, what should I talk about? I mean, with Lisa, she will be talking here for like 700 hours in my... But it just comes out. You know, it's, mostly I'm done in 2 hours. This is it. I have nothing to say. I don't know if it's really my kind of thing. Lisa's really good at it.
You don't have the feeling that the people coming to feel your presence? It doesn't matter what you are talking or if you are talking.
Nothing special about this.
Nothing special, of course.
No.
But maybe nice.
Yeah, that could be bad. I'm not really into the guru stuff or anything.
So what you are into too?
This. We all are. And I know that in India, maybe it's also more that culture that they say you've got the jnani approach and the bhakti, and the jnana is more, I think, my approach. It's like a little intellectual understanding of everything is one, there's no I, and blah, blah, blah. And then from, let's say, to the head, it goes to the heart, it starts to integrate, and then the surrendering happens. But in India, as I heard and read, it's mostly what they call the bhakti method. So it's a total being devotional to the teacher, surrendering to him or her. and then it is being experienced in the heart, and after that they start to understand it intellectually. So it's just a different approach. And also for one person or person, this might work, for the other one that.
Yeah, and it also can change.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people come to these talks and like, yeah, this is what I experienced for years. But then they become aware of, that it's integrated actually. But some people get, I know people who can write books about this and nothing happens. It just gets stuck in here. And they're like, and for years, I had a guy who went to Satsang for 27 years. He was standing in the end next to me. He said, can we hug? So maybe something might happen. And we hugged. And nothing happened.
For him not, maybe for you.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
I also had, that was funny, a spiritual festival. And then people were lying on the floor at my feet. And in the end, there was like a row of 150 people wanted to hug. Standing for an hour. But most people, by waking up, it's like every concept you have of every thing you hold on to, it's like everything is crushing down. This is really scary because there's like, what do I do? So I do understand that people like to at least claim the teacher, like, oh, at least I got something to hold on to. So it's a really logical thing that it's happening. But even, I just killed the Buddha, even that is in the end like, but scary, this is really scary too. The surrendering to life. Because to me, in my process, I was so afraid. I was like, before I had two hands on the wheel, like, I need to share my life. And it's like, oh, hey, wow. But for a long time, I had just one hand on the wheel, just to be sure. So it was really. But this total surrender and this trust that life is carrying you, or you are life, that was a. And once it's like, it's like, wow, everything just happens. Yeah, but before that, this is the scariest stuff. Especially because I was taught the opposite for 30 years. Because it's for 30 years, people talk to you, you have to take control, be responsible, do this, do that.
So in your head, there are only thoughts coming which have a practical function, or there are also other thoughts in your head?
Oh, when you hear me talk with Lisa, there's so much crap coming out, but nothing is taken seriously or nothing is being grabbed or hold on to. It's just blah, blah, blah. But no more thoughts that I used to have, like, what if this happens? And then, let's use this strategy. And I could lay awake in bed for hours trying to solve my problem mentally, and it never worked. So it's not that thought stop, it's that the belief in thoughts, that drops away. But still a lot of, otherwise it would be totally boring. It would be the whole day like, only functional thoughts. Let's have breakfast.
Is it right that life is easier flowing when there's less identification?
This is a tricky question because the eye likes to hear this and want to go there. We have between 30,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. You can imagine if many of these thoughts are filled with anger, fear, guilt, blame, frustration, that life becomes like a struggle. When that drops away, it's what they call enlightenment, because to me the word is in that way a nice word, because it's getting lighter, but not for someone. There's not someone in the end claiming that, look how enlightened I'm capable of living. Because that's also a phase in the awakening, that the ego starts to claim its own enlightenment. That's a really funny one. Especially in this phase, they start sending emails like, now I totally get it. Because, I've been struggling for years, but now it's all clear. And I wonder what could ever happen to make me out of balance again? Mm-hmm. And then mostly the day after. It's like...
When the people come to your event, they get something out of it?
No, they only lose maybe some concepts they have. There's nothing in return. That's why I think this philosophy is not popular at all. Because for the ego, there's nothing to get. There's no promise for a better future. There's no promise for a happy life. You can only lose concepts, and even you lose your own sensation of I. So therefore, I understand why these rooms are filled with 20 people, and that when you go to a workshop of The Secret, where you can visualize your own new Ferrari, there are thousands of people. It's so logical.
Who is there who can lose something?
No one. But in the body-mind mechanism, there might be a dropping away of many concepts, which is done by no one. Also, that just happened. And that's also frustrating, because the person wants to have a method so it can do something in order to get rid of something. But Wayne Linkelman said, that is like wanting to jump up by pulling your boots. I like that metaphor. Mm-hmm.
There's some other issue you like to talk about?
Issues, yeah, my youth. No. No issues, sir.
Yeah, you're very fast in answering, so my questions are going. I'm getting out of questions. Maybe somebody else wants to like to call something, to ask something.
Love is love, the absence of identification with self. It's just that I'm just speaking from my point of view. I've been aware of being so conditioned by pleasure and fear. It's like a prison, and sometimes it's a revelation to see that I don't really have to. My inner nature is free. I don't really have to identify, even though I'm constantly identifying. It just seems strange that somewhere, you know, I was born with freedom. That's what it feels like, even though I'm not free.
Well, you are freedom, but that which appears in freedom might have the illusion that it has a bondage to anything. But let's say everything is awareness, and sometimes pleasure may be aware of pleasure, sometimes you may be aware of fear, but as long as there is a realization you are the awareness in which everything comes and goes, nothing happens. Then when you're happy, you laugh, and when you're sad, you cry, and that's it. Just like how a dog lives, actually. But mostly we are forgotten that we are this oneness, this awareness, which is looking at everything. And we identify with a thought or with a feeling, and then before, when I used to feel pain, for instance, man, there would be so many strategies to get rid of the pain and start drinking beer, buying stuff, calling your friends, telling them how awful it is. And so the whole day through, people can be busy with trying to get rid of pain or anger or fear, but it's so easy, it just comes and goes. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. I'm really afraid that I'm that person who's like for 27 years. I think a little longer in my case, like, and you know, like this is so, it becomes worse. Met je rug tegen de muur, but I still, I don't know. I mean, why it happened to you? Stupid question, and not.
I don't know either.
Yeah, no, but it's like it's this resistance to is so big. I think so. I I don't know, even to come here is like, yeah, absurd. Is it absurd?
Now that's just the thought.
Yeah.
There's only the awareness right now that this is it. You're sitting on a chair and you're hearing sounds. That's all there is at the moment. And everything else, like, I've been busy for so long, am I going to get something this weekend, why isn't it happening? These are thoughts. And there's also the thought that something should be going to happen with you.
Yeah, because I cannot stand my mind. I mean, for long, I cannot stand my mind. And then they say, you must like it.
This is funny. I cannot stand my mind. So who is this one I that cannot stand the other one?
Yeah. It feels shit.
Yeah, but then what's happening is feeling shit. But we're not
mostly... I feel guilty because some people say, go to the feeling. Go, you have to feel it. You need to be quiet. Feel it, just feel it. Don't... I do anything about it anymore. But
yeah, but who could choose to feel it? If feeling it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. This is an awful philosophy, I know. You're not getting anything.
But it's so funny, like you, I mean, as comparing is also stupid. I still compare a lot, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Yeah, well, my biggest fear is to stay in hell forever. I mean, I have some good moments, sure, but the more you drown, it's like this.
Yeah.
How can I get rid of myself? And this rat race, whatever. I feel a lot of guilt because I must be doing something wrong. I must be doing something terribly wrong.
That's what this whole blah blah mindset is. But you actually have then, I call it Statler and Waldorf in your head.
What?
Statler and Waldorf, you know the two old puppets from the puppet show?
Oh, I got your book here.
Oh yeah, you got them both. And there's also a non-dual Muppet. Because there's one, I feel struggle for good. Oh no. Awareness in which everything is appearing, so you still don't get it. I got struggle, and then your head's going like this. I've got no solution. I'm just pointing at that there's no you doing it. This is just happening. There's no way it could have been different from what it is right now. And your true nature, the awareness itself, it is the freedom itself. It is totally free from that.
Sure, isn't it? Then I could ask, but then, is it really true? I mean, maybe, you know, you say they all speak about freedom. Maybe my nature was the devil. No, I feel that I'm in my mind, and I know when I'm not in my mind that it's just truth. But when you're in your mind, they can say your natural state is love.
I've been like this for 1.5 years, reading the book of Ramesh Bhaskar again and again and again, and I was getting, especially with me, I don't say it will happen to you, nothing happened for 1.5 years, and I was like, this is bullshit, and I was so tired of it all, and I threw away all my books, and I was like, I'm going to quit with this whole Advaita shit. What actually happened was the surrendering of something in here that had the idea that it could do something. It was like, well, I can't do it. And then it happened. So I'm not telling you to throw away all your books. I'm just saying that mostly you get to the point of sometimes you get the point of being... But you never know. It's
But this is not my fault. I'm asking like I'm a little girl and you are a daddy. Like, when I think about my mother, she's 91 and her mind is still, it's a little, because she's Alzheimer now, she's a little bit. But like, I think, oh my God, when that is my fault, she's so strong. You know, people I know in my, so strong-minded, they never can let go.
Yeah, you don't know.
Okay.
And what doesn't matter? I know, for the eye, it's like, well, struggle, I want to get rid of it.
Yeah, maybe it's the fear that it never... Yeah, the fear of... The fear of that I will be in hell forever, even when I would die as an old lady.
Yeah.
I had to come back, blah, 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 blah. Trust. I don't trust.
You don't trust life. No. And then that's what's happening.
Huh? So you have first to trust and then you don't have to come back anymore.
No. I'm saying if there's no trust, it's like me holding the wheel, like, just to be sure. It's a little scared of letting go. Not that somebody is doing it, but then that fear is still present in the body-mind mechanism.
So when you are ripe, could you say then, when you are ripe, it will happen? I mean, like,
The apple falls from the tree when it's time. But the funny thing is that, for instance, when you are a tree and all your leaves fall down, and then the other trees around is like, how did you do that? Yeah. The tree's like, nothing, it just happened. But tell me. And then the tree, it's just a natural process. It happens when it happens. But for trees who want to get rid of the leaves, this is a really unsatisfying answer. They want a saw or anything they can get rid of. But, so there's this is it.
Thank you.
Paul, I want to come back also with always the same question. It's for a long time ago that I know there's no choice, but until I met Lisa, I was sure it was because of the law of cause and effect. And she said, no, it's only appear, disappear. And on Wednesday this week, we bike together and we spoke again about this, and I said to her because when I was sure it was because the law of cause and effect, it was perfect, but since she told me no, it's not, apparently it's because of that, but deeply not, I don't understand nothing. And we spoke again about that, and I said to her, I never understand that until the opening is coming. And she said, no, you can understand that intellectually, even if there's no opening.
Yeah.
And she explained me something, but maybe because my English is not enough, maybe because I'm a little bit stupid, I don't. I didn't understand. Can you start again to, even intellectually, it's enough for today, but I would like to understand why it's not because the law the law of cause and effect, and it's only because appear and disappear. Could you explain that for my intellectual understanding?
Yeah, if we totally zoom out.
Can you speak slowly?
Okay.
No, thank you.
Okay. When we totally zoom out and we see that actually nothing ever happened, there's no time, no space, there's just this, from that perspective we can say, okay, seemingly things have appeared and disappeared. If we, like scientists do, say, okay, there is time within the dream we live in, then from out the Big Bang till now, everything is cause and effect. We call it Newton's law, action is reaction, the law of karma. The thing is, there are billions and billions of actions and reactions simultaneously, like a huge web, going through each other. So we can never tell what is action and reaction, and every reaction is an action. So therefore, we have no idea why things are happening. It's too complex to understand. But what does it matter? Why would you like to know it?
Because it's so mysterious, and I want to understand. Yes, I understand what you just explained now. Because there are so many interaction, but it's always the same question. Why? I said that already when I was here in Christmas. Why does Lisa go always to the same dog? which only appear, disappear, and not because of the law of cause and effect.
It is eventually cause and effect, but there are so many millions and millions of causes and effect creating this puppet Lisa with a love or a dog. We just don't know why things are happening. But we can see in this moment that it is happening. But we would like to know what is cause and effect, so the ego secretly can have a little control and at least understand why is it happening to me, for instance. But it's big mystery.
But you just said maybe it's an evangelical effect.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't understand
that. When I just talked about the dogs of Lisa,
yeah.
You said maybe it's still a causal effect or not?
The way you look, the way you behave, there are millions and millions of variables which have created the way you look right now. You have to go back from your ancestors to the whole evolution, and therefore you look right now like this. But also, therefore, you have these genes, this conditioning. There are so many factors. Also with Lisa, of course. And in the body-mind mechanism, Lisa, what's also happening is the love for this specific dog. What doesn't happen with her, if she is at my place and the dog is at home, there will be no thoughts like, oh, and I miss the dog, and what will the dog think, and I'm such a bad boss. That doesn't come up. Because there's just this then.
I think I will never be satisfied.
No. It is a mystery. It is a big mystery.
It was so comfortable to say it was because of the law effect.
Which in a way it is, but it's so complex.
Yeah.
And if we also look at time, time only takes place in our imagination. Then everything is just happening at this moment. So then cause and effect suddenly, it's just from which perspective you're looking. But what remains that within the awareness right now, there's just this. It's just people sitting on a couch and people talking. That's what is now. Everything else is thought.
But you still know that there is a Lisa. Or you forgot it?
No. Sometimes. This thing is has programming and thoughts can pop up about. You can also think about someone who's not present, but there will be no thoughts that it could be different from what is, or that it's her fault or my fault. That's gone. And without this fear upon these thoughts, there is no suffering.
So you can also still not... Yeah, stupid. I feel so stupid. Honestly. You also still can, when she's not there, you still could long for her. Oh, I wish she would be here.
There can be the feeling come up, oh, nice that she's going to be here next week or so. Yeah. But there's not like, oh... It's not a week counting down the things and that is not happening. But this is actually so simple. When you're looking at a movie, you are the awareness which is looking at the movie, right? Your self-awareness is turned off. There's no I while looking at the movie in most cases. So you're totally getting into it. When there is no self-awareness, there are no thoughts upon what is happening. Because that's the realization, whatever happens in the movie is just what's happening. And then every emotion is nice. Even you, in the end, you have cried. So it's, oh, it was so nice to cry.
Yeah?
And even people rent horror movies because they can experience fear. But then suddenly fear is a nice experience. And you can even feel anger or romance or whatever. So without the resistance upon these emotions, watching a movie is great. And what non-duality pointing at, that this is also a movie. And you're merely an actor upon the screen. And you
I cannot turn on my switch.
No, you can't. Because you are always the awareness looking at that.
So I wrote myself a bad movie?
You didn't write it. It just happened.
Yeah, but then it's like, what's so stupid to you? Yeah, it happened to you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no technique or people. When I go to Lisa Stumps, mostly they always ask, can you tell me how your process went? Also with Tony Parsons, which park were you walking when it happened? he also makes it as, yeah, my footprints are still there. You can walk. Waking up happens in different ways with everyone. There's nothing to hold on to.
But could you say then, like, I was brought up Catholic, huh? Like, a strong belief, like, I have still that in my system, I think, I mean, it's not true, like, I know, also, like, life is suffering. And then, when you suffer enough, later, you come to heaven. And is that still in my system, or sometimes they call me a drama queen, or do I want to repeat this idea? Is it, do you know what I mean? It's like, we have a strong belief, like, okay, it was a God, which is a very nice girl, and then you do your best, and you have life, and nice. then you come to heaven. This is, I mean, sometimes I say it's still in my brain.
But is it a law of cause and effect?
Yeah. Eventually, it's all cause and effect.
Yeah.
But we can talk about it in the evening, maybe. Also, this process of awakening, where we have got all kinds of ideas and old pain and traumas.
Mm-hmm.
We have had them as, let's say, as a holding ball in the water. It wants to get up because you've been building up all these defensive strategies during life. There could be a Catholic ball underneath, and then when you wake up, it just it's going through that.
Okay.
But then, also you are not doing that, just might happen. But you see often that people with suppressed feelings and situations, or with real traumas, this pain wants to get out. And it happens because the identification with it dissolves, and therefore it just does that. Therefore, waking up is sometimes a horrible process with a lot of pain.
Mm.
The difference is that when the pain comes up, there is simply the experience of pain. So you start to cry or feel miserable for a few days. But the whole story upon that and trying to suppress it again, that is resolving.
We don't know the quantity that I've seen inside.
No,
inside.
You can't count. There's still 7 to go. But it will come out. And it can be painful. But then that's what's happening. So in this process of awakening, you can go through many less phases where I always say you're a little addicted to the I during your whole life, and then once you this balloon is snapped, like there's no I and it's seen, it's like how do you call it? Afkikverschijnselen?
Detox.
Yeah, it's like the I detox. Process it and that takes a while. There's also the metaphor, you've been driving the car for so long, like suddenly you let go of the steer and the gas, but the car still has to stop, so it takes a while. Because I know there are the stories that, and I was enlightened. It's impossible for the brain, because for the brain to change its conditioning, the synapses has to make new connections, and it's impossible to do that like that.
Mm.
It can be that in case of, for instance, Lisa, she has had a whole process, and suddenly it went, but she did have the process first before it must seem. But sometimes that happens, and to me, or I read also that the message was really gradual, and then you look back and suddenly you're like, oh, there's no struggle anymore. But you only figure that out a month after there's no struggle. But there are many ways.
And it's why there are sometimes, I don't know the name in English, when you scratch a match, often it's explode.
Explosion?
No, the
fire.
No, just a stop. Spark.
The spark, yeah.
Yes. And how do you, it's why there are sparks of understanding, because the brain cannot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good metaphor, yeah. There are sparks.
Sometimes I don't understand, there are sparks of understanding, but after it grows, it's because the brain cannot manage to, I don't know.
True.
Yeah.
Also, when the message is ready to hear, it will be here, because when you first get familiar with this non-duality, you're like, wow, and you're so excited, you want to tell everyone in your environment and neighborhood about this. Oh man, you're digging a hole. You're going to be in it, because people are like, what are you talking about? Of course this is me. But the process is irreversible. Once it's seen, it's seen. You can never go back. There's been no one ever who started to wake up and went back. It's if you think that the sun is moving around the earth, that's what you truly believe, because you see it happening. That's our real experience, that the sun is orbiting the earth. But then someone's telling you now, if we zoom out, we suddenly see that it's the other way around. It's the Earth orbiting its X and the Sun. But once you know that the Sun is not really moving around the Earth, you can never believe that it's real again. Never. Also, when you see through this illusion of an eye and therefore also free will, you can never go back. It's impossible. So there's hope. Finally, some positive news. Yeah.
What's your experience of intellectual work after this awakening? In my own experience, I find it to be a bit of a struggle sometimes. And the fear of not being able to handle complex thinking in a work situation, for example.
Okay.
So what's your experience?
I have no thoughts about it, actually. I don't really have intelligent work.
I just start.
No, I'm sorry, I don't know. I think there will be no more swimming. Shall we get a drink? Because the next talk is at 4, and then one at 7:30. Because this might be a non-duality marathon by now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, nice.